is We Have Thoughts, a podcast about movies. I'm Crystal.
I'm Joy.
And I'm Anna.
And welcome to our Oscar Rewind series. We'll be going through the Best Picture nominees from the 2012 Oscars and giving our unfiltered thoughts on each of them. Today we're discussing Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Synopsis as follows. A nine-year-old boy searches New York City for the lock that matches a mysterious key left behind by his father, who died in the World Trade Center on September 11th, 2001. Starring Thomas Horn, Tom Hanks, Sandra Bullock, and Max von Sydow, written by Eric Roth, based on the novel by Jonathan Safran Foer, and directed by Stephen Daldry. Along with Best Picture, it was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for Max von Sydow. With two nominations total, this is Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. So what did we think of this movie?
I watched this in not the best place. So I think I appreciated it a little bit more this time around. I wasn't as, like, bored by it. But I still wasn't exactly entertained.
Yeah.
Exact same.
Joy, was this your first time?
Yeah, it was my first time watching. You guys had watched it originally back then, right?
Mm-hmm. 11 years ago.
Holy shit. That's a long time ago. Yeah, first time watching. I know that we've talked about it on the podcast before. But stuff about, like world-changing events happening in our lifetime, I don't really care to see it because even though, like, I was pretty young when this happened. I think I was, oh my God, was I this kid's age? No, I was older. How old are you in third grade?
I don't know. You were in fourth grade.
You were about his age.
Oh, shit. Oh, that makes it weirder. Okay, yeah, definitely. No thanks. But I love Tom Hanks, and he's never not charming. Except in Elvis. That was
I was going to say, there's one. There's one.
That was weird and gross.
Yikes.
Sandra Bullock is never not, you know, a pleasant experience to watch. I can see why they put it in Best Picture. I don't necessarily think it has all the merits of a Best Picture. It's just kind of middle of the road, almost. I don't know. It's like it's solid, but it's not, like, spectacular. But it's not horrendous. It's not, like, the worst thing I've ever seen. It's not the worst Best Picture I've seen, but it's not gonna be in my top five.
Exact same.
It's just kind of there. And I think, you know, again, we've said this before, sometimes it's, like, a cheap pulling on our heartstrings by, like, you know, storytelling things that we personally have experienced. It's kind of like a cheap emotional grab. So, like, you know you're going to be emotionally invested and, like, sad about this. So it's not so much the storytelling rather than, like, the fact that it occurred and that, you know, you were there for that.
I think I said this in my Letterboxd review. I think I said, I'm pretty sure this was a fine novel. Like, this is one of those movies that I don't think necessarily needs an adaptation. Mm-hmm. Because books, I think, are going to be inherently more, like, they're going to be a bit deeper. They have more time. They have more space to go there. And so there's more room for this heavy topic to be explored and to be done better. So I think this would have been a novel that should have stayed a novel. It didn't need to be adapted.
maybe the alluring nature of the fact that the book is frequently banned from school libraries maybe was the reason for it to be brought to the big screen. I don't know why it's banned. I forgot to look that up. But
recently banned, or was it banned back then?
I just said, I don't remember. I wrote down, this book is frequently banned from school libraries. I don't know if that's like a recent quote or what.
I'm going to Google this as we talk.
Or even why, because I forgot. So maybe that's a reason why.
Yeah.
Because I think it's an interesting idea, a way for someone to process grief, because that's what it's about. It's about processing grief. And I think because of how old we are, it being centered around 9/11 is really hard. I think if had it been centered around any other, him just dying or him getting in an accident of any other nature, it would have been a completely different movie to me. But I also, like Joy, you said this before, that this particular time is really hard for me to watch it. And I remember, like Anna said, thinking it was kind of boring and I was like checked out. But I think 11 years ago, I just didn't want to receive the sadness, so I just ignored it and threw it off as like, oh, it's boring, it's stupid, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I have a little bit more of the mature brain, I think, okay, I see it. He's grieving, he is struggling, this is hard. Yeah. He's putting so much pressure on him, and it's a lot to take for even an adult to have to deal with that. But he's 9 years old. I think of Charlie and how she would deal with that. That's a lot, you know. I think putting in perspective as my adult brain and my film brain, I appreciated it more. Did I think it was good? It's very mid, but I did appreciate what they were trying to do, at least.
Yeah.
So a quick Google search. Mm-hmm. I've seen it banned as far back as like 2015, 2016. I'd probably need to look a little harder to see if it was banned before then, but apparently some school in Illinois banned it for its sexual content.
What?
Which I find intriguing because there's nothing sexual. Nothing
of the nature, no.
In the movie.
What are they even talking about? What? That's really strange.
Maybe he meets a character that they didn't put in the movie.
Maybe.
I don't know, but that's weird. I also had a bit of an issue with the fact that they didn't quite define whether or not he was on the spectrum or not. They kind of just were like, tests were inconclusive. So it kind of felt like they're giving him all of these mannerisms that automatically make you assume this boy is on the spectrum. And I just, I wish it would have been a clear yes or no. Just because it feels like murky to not have a definitive answer and be like, we're using all these characteristics to make him weird instead of to make him a full person, you know? I thought that was a little weird to me.
No, I agree. I think that would have, because honestly, I know he's grieving. He's going through some terrible things, but he is so annoying. And I feel like had they established, like, he's clearly this, I would have felt more sympathetic to him. I mean, I was sympathetic to him, but, like, he's so annoying. He's so disrespectful. Like, it's hard for me to watch it. So, I don't know. I wanted to be, like, kid, but also like, was there something I needed to like take into consideration with who he is, how he is? I agree with you, the murkiness was a little
I feel like the kid, I think the actor did a pretty good job.
Yeah,
because this kid has to talk fast and he has to say a lot, and he's saying big words and big ideas because this kid is smart. This kid is so super smart. And I don't know, maybe it's because I went to school for behavior analysis, applied behavior analysis. So, like, I know the signs, I know the things to look at. And to me, this kid was obviously on the spectrum. So, for me, that like annoyance wasn't as, it was easier to overlook because I was like, this is a kid who doesn't have the tools for everyday life, and now he's going through this big thing. And it seems like, because it's almost been a year, I think they said.
A year.
Or it has been a year. So I feel like for the last year, this kid has been completely shut off and shut down. And finding this key has, like, brought him back to life. But now he's, like, on, like, super speed because he's been just depleted for a year. Is kind of, like, the feeling I got. So he said all these things happening internally for a year, and now it's all happening externally. And it's a lot.
Yeah, I think had it been better written and they, like you said, established for sure that he was this, then it would have been, us as the audience would have felt different. Because I just think, initially I just thought, he's so annoying. Like, he's so rude. He's so this, he's so that. So, yeah, I and also, like, the kid, the actor, first movie ever, he was on Jeopardy. He, like, won Kids Jeopardy or something. So he's, like, super smart in real life. He doesn't act anymore, so maybe he was, like, eh, over it. Which, fair. But yeah, sorry, Joey, you haven't spoken at all. Go ahead.
No, I think back then, what was this, 2011? I think back then we were still in a time period where before we had a little bit more representation for people who are neurodivergent or on the spectrum. And so it wasn't, I don't think they like took it as seriously, which is why they were like hinting at it, but not explicit about it. And they weren't, I think for parts of it, especially when it's like not written by someone with that kind of perspective, it can be a little disrespectful or disingenuous, which is my only issue that I had with it. Cause I was like, yes, they're doing all these things that like are quote unquote like signs of like neurodivergence or you know, being on the spectrum. But like, does anyone who wrote this like have any experience with that? Or like, do they know like the, you know, different kind of varieties? Cause you can be like neurodivergent and not have these kind of tics or like triggers or characteristics. So I don't know. It's I think back then nobody was taking it as seriously and nobody was really looking at the representation part of it. They were just like doing it to do it. I think now the majority of like, you know, like big TV shows or like big movies would take it a little bit more seriously. Same way we have with like, you know, diversity in film and things like that. Being more inclusive and being intentional about it rather than just like, oh, it just so happens that, you know, this is a part of them, you know?
I think by not saying yes or no, by not claiming that he is neurodivergent or on the spectrum, they get away with having a movie about grief and not a movie about a kid on the spectrum with grief. And that's not, that doesn't become part of the narrative. And that's not something they wanted to have to like navigate or deal with or talk about. They wanted it to just be about this unique kid who's going through this grieving process.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah. So it's interesting the choices they made, but I don't necessarily think the same choices would have been made had this movie been made like now. But you know, it's a lot of the things I feel like as we keep going further back and back, in Oscar's timeline, are very, you know, of the time, and they're very much a reflection of like what the values and what the, priorities of filmmaking and storytelling was at that time.
My brain just shut off. I am a fan of this score. I think it's really great. I listened to it when it first came out, and some of the tracks are on my To Go to Sleep playlist, so it was nice to listen to. Alexander Desplat is the composer. So I liked that. Also, trigger warning, because the photos were very traumatic to me.
Oh, God, yeah.
I literally looked away and burst into tears because I remember seeing those on the news And it was so much. I remember that was the first time I really, like, paid attention, like, to the news. Like, that sounds, I mean, I was, like, 14, 13 when it happened. And because we were all just glued to the TV and wanting to know what happened and understanding, because, like, I understood, but I really didn't understand. But watching the news and seeing, like, all those images and, like, there's you can't unsee things.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's just really, that's trigger warning for sure. Especially in the, like, the first frame of the movie is, like,
oh my god, yeah.
I was like, oh god, already, I can't. And I was like, okay, that's the only one. And then, like, he's having a nightmare and he sees him falling. And then the photos, oh my god. Yeah, the photos were a lot for me.
I think it's safe to say that, like, us as a generation have, like, a sensitivity to that because, like, you know, we saw this, like, when we were still, like, technically kids, so it's not something you would normally see as a kid. And, you know, unfortunately, to kind of tie it back into the present, you know, kids are having to see things that are, you know, that they shouldn't be seeing, that they shouldn't have to see at this age, in all the different ways that that's happening now. But again, that's kind of why I don't actively seek out watching anything about this particular event in history. I don't really find it necessary. I don't think it's going to do anything to help me feel better or anything about that happening, you know?
I watched this on, excuse me, on Sunday, May 7th, and this will be coming out in June, so on May 6th here in DFW in Allen, Texas, there was a mass shooting, and I was there with my family a couple hours before it all happened, literally at the same store. So Sunday, Saturday and Sunday were very hard for me. And then watching this was, I was telling Crystal before we started recording, was really hard, but it was also kind of nice to give myself an excuse to, like, let all of the emotion out and to have a good, heavy, hard cry. But, this was 2011, or this was 2001 when this happened. And, like, thank God those pictures he had were so pixelated that you could tell it was a person, but you can't see anything. But here we are in the year 2023, and I was telling Crystal, I think I'm gonna have to take a break from Twitter because people keep posting pictures and videos from that day, and I can't do it. I can't look at that. I wonder what it is psychologically, like, that we seek those things out, that as humans, we seek out those graphic images of horrible things. Like, what is that about us that we want to see that visual proof? You know?
I mean, I don't want to see that.
Not yeah. us, but, like, us collectively, because...
That never made any sense to me. I can't wrap my brain around people wanting to see that. I just don't understand that at all.
You can distill it down to, like, even smaller of why do we bottleneck on the freeway to look at the accident as we pass it, you know?
You know what? I don't do that either. Because I think... someone told me they do it because they want to see if they recognize somebody, which I thought was weird.
Oh, I've never thought about that.
Because they were like, what if it's someone I know? What if I recognize that car? What if? To me, I'm thinking, I don't want to see that. That's nosy. I understand slowing down, so we know there's not fast cars going past. I understand that. But I don't want to look at that. I never look at it.
because I just think no. So I, yeah.
I think part of it is, unfortunately, you know, we live in America. And to a certain extent, I think culturally we've been desensitized to things like this. One, because it happens, unfortunately, so often. Two, because so much of the, like, media and advertisements and all of that heavily relies on, like, the bombardment of images. And that's how they get you with, like, advertising or, like, you know, entertainment or whatever. But, like, that, for those particular events, like, what, like, can you not have, like, a shred of humanity and be like, wow, if this happened to me or my family, I wouldn't want to fucking see that on the internet? Or just, like, in general, like, why do you want to see that? Like, what is it? Why do you want to see that? That's, like, horrible. That's, like, it's so gratuitous. It's, like, so much. It's, like, what? That's overwhelming. And then, again, going back, like, those are, like, images you cannot get out of your head. The same way we saw these things when we were kids. Like, these are things you cannot unsee. And, like, one way or another, you're going to still see it. Like, you're going to, it's still, like, you know, I just don't understand how people are, like, heartless enough that they're not, like, sensitized, that, like, they're too desensitized to that, or that, like, they just, like, it has, like, no effect on them.
Maybe it's people who need, like, proof that it's real. You know, like, oh, this isn't real, whatever. People just say whatever, but they don't believe it until they actually see it, you know?
To a certain extent, for certain things, that makes sense. Kind of like spoiler for Succession, but like one of the kids in this current season, in season 4, like needs proof of something in order to believe it happened. So that makes sense, but like not for these kind of events is not a spectacle. This is not what this is. Like, you don't, to a certain extent, I can understand like needing proof that it happened, but like we have proof every fucking day that these things happen. Do we really need more proof? That's I think that's enough proof. Like,
I was telling Anna, like, why wasn't that flagged? Like, I understand that people need to post that for like news reasons or whatever, but like, flag it. Like, let me decide to see that. Like, it just being up there willy nilly. Like, that's not.
Well, and you know what? People were talking about that on Twitter too. They were like, you know, before it got bought out by somebody, the flagging of things was a lot more like active or a lot more secure, to where like when things, I know, because I like when things would happen of this nature or something like this, something sensitive, like it would have it covered up and then like you have the option of unseeing it. And it had that on Facebook too, but I think Facebook did away with that. But it's just not, they don't, I guess they're just not like investing in that part of Twitter anymore. So they don't have like the employees to like flag that stuff. I don't know.
Like, I understand Twitter isn't a censored site because there's like literally porn on there, but like still like, let me decide to see that. Let me decide if I want to do that. Let the, you know, like this is an image, click to view, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Anyways,
I remember today, as I was driving home, I used to have a comfort 2 episodes of The West Wing, the season 4 premiere. It was a 2-hour premiere that I would watch after tragic events. I remember watching it after the Boston bombing, the marathon. I remember watching it after Sandy Hook and a few other mass shootings or big events, big tragic events like that. And how I don't even know when I stopped watching it for comfort, because I would always be watching it. Like, I was thinking about that today. Like, I watched it so many times because there's this speech the president gives at the end of the episode that's beautiful. And I think I've even posted it after tragedies. And now there's just too fucking many for me to keep watching this fucking episode. Anyway, I had to close my notebook because writing those notes on Sunday, my notes were very dark and very sad, and I don't want to look at it anymore.
I guess we can move on.
Yeah, please.
Okay. He keeps mentioning the sixth borough, and I wonder if the sixth borough is the black one that they built Central Park over.
Shit.
Because,
Crystal hello. Went, we're going to turn.
I was like, I know it's not what they're talking about, but that's what
they're talking about. Damn, she did that.
Okay. Seneca Village.
I was, I was thinking, yeah, Seneca Village. I was thinking about that when he was talking about it in the beginning of the movie and explaining to him, and I was like, you mean the black neighborhood that got bulldozed mm-hmm. for Central Park to exist?
Mm-hmm. And then he's what? Climbing on the rock in Central Park. He's in the swing in Central Park.
Mm, well, he gets in the map of Central Park, and he's like, it uh-huh. needs to be here.
Yes.
I mean, he's a smart man. He probably was in some way insinuating, like, look deeper into the history.
Hopefully.
That, I mean, yeah.
I love that you thought of that.
My brain immediately was thought of. I was like, huh, the sixth borough, you say? Yeah.
100%.
Speaking of those rocks, he climbed on the rocks, and I was like, oh, I've climbed all those exact rocks. Oh, my God. I think I have a picture of me with that in the background.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never climbed those rocks.
I need to find it. I don't know where it's at. But yeah, I think I have that.
Come find it real quick. Come, let's go to the park.
No, I have to go to my, oh, to find the picture?
No, like, let's go to the park.
Oh, yeah. Let me hop on a plane. All right. Hopefully they take Monopoly money because that's all I got. So.
Do you even have Monopoly?
Wow. Okay. Kick her while she's down, Anna. What an itch.
Sorry.
For her.
No, you're not. You are. It's because I made her cry earlier. That's why. That was the payback.
She had to get you back. Yeah.
She was crying and I was laughing at her. And I was like, Joy, the buffer. We need the buffer. Get her in
oh,
here.
Oh, shit. What happened?
I was telling her. So my sister is, they're giving their dog to my brother-in-law's sister because they can't handle her anymore. And so I took Rocket over there for like a last play date. I don't like this dog. I've never really liked this dog. I'm very happy they're getting rid of her. I am excited for them for this new chapter because this dog is so annoying. But like the thought of Rocket, every time I think of him going, like not seeing his friend anymore, I start to cry. And what does this bitch do? She starts singing a song from The Fox and the Hound. When you're the best of friends. I was like, you...
So then she cried and I laughed.
Oh my God, that's the evilest shit I ever heard. I love
and
that.
And she's talking about all these ducks dying. Whatever.
And then the ducks dying. Yeah. Yeah, no wonder Anna was a wreck. God damn.
Can't handle this.
Oh my God.
You know, maybe you shouldn't think Rigby is annoying. Maybe he's like just misunderstood, or like the boy in this movie needs to be taken care of in a different way.
Oh,
she for sure needs some puppy Prozac.
Okay.
I could use some Prozac.
Can you just buy that at the store?
No, it's a prescription.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, go to your local pharmacy and ask for Prozac.
I don't know. I don't take care of myself, clearly. How would I know that?
Can't hurt to ask. What'd she say?
Hello, where's the Prozac aisle, please?
Be like, can I have one of every single antidepressant, please? Thank you.
No, I said, I don't take care of myself clearly. How would I know that?
Hey, I watched her eat dinner and there was vegetables on the plate.
Oh, yay.
Oh, God.
I'm eating cauliflower, so I'm doing great.
I had a burger and fries. Vegetables.
Oh, my God.
I had a vegetable, so I survived one more day.
I had one single vegetable.
I had one vegetable, please.
So did y'all, or I guess, Joel, oh, I guess I'll save you. When did you know that that was his grandpa? Your faces, your eyes, you both looked up like,
Well, because this verse, like this time around, I don't know if I remembered that, but I knew it immediately. this time around. I'm trying to think of the first time I saw
that's
it.
What I mean. That's what I mean.
When I would have put that together, and I don't remember.
I remember when I'm watching the first movie is when, or the first movie, the first time when he says, and he shrugged the way Dad did. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think bringing a partner to his travels was a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I'm always amazed by, yeah, I'm always amazed at how, like, New York kids just walk around the city by themselves. Like, I remember when I lived there, I was like, oh my God, there's so many children. Do I need to help them? And they're like, they're braver than me. But I didn't grow up in a city, so clearly. So I'm just, like, amazed by these little babies just walking the streets like nothing.
I know, I see them get on the bus for, like, school. Like the,
yeah.
The, and I was like, look at them. They're just going to school. Like, a few stops down. How cute. It's nice.
Terrifying.
I wonder why he decided to get, like, yes and no tattooed on his hands and just not use his head like a nod or a shake. Like, why the tattoos? Because he was,
I like it.
I mean, he had the like, he had the mobility of his neck, so like he could say yes and no, but he was like, mm-mm. Like he was dancing. I don't
maybe
know. That was
so, just, it's easier,
I guess. Maybe he's thinking in the future, like when he doesn't have any, like when he's a vegetable and he's like, I don't know.
Or maybe it's like if he doesn't want to have to look, like, no. No.
That's smart.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Look at you, brain. All right.
It works for some things.
Using the noggin.
What else? What's my other note? Oh, I like when he said, my dad was the greatest dad in the world because you were the worst.
Dang. That was.
Yeah. Tell him. Tell him, babe. Tell him.
Yeah. Right, that was a good scene. Regardless of if he's in his life now, he still was never in his son's life. So, like, there's no making up for that.
And like most men, he walked away when it got too real. And little baby, what was the kid's name again? Back the character?
Oscar.
Oscar. When Oscar was like, oh, okay, hack it. Okay, fuck you. Well, he didn't say that, but he meant it.
He basically said
that. Well. I think, not that I'm making excuses for him or.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Okay, go ahead.
All right, Anna, let's go.
She likes to play the other side. Let's go.
But he also, like, they also survived a tragedy. Right. I don't know if it's, I don't think it's explicitly said in the movie, but I was reading the trivia and Tom Hanks's parents survived the bombing of Dresden in World War II in Germany. So dude went through some trauma himself. And maybe it was better for him to have stepped away mental health wise than to like put his family through that. Like he needed to get right with himself before he could get right with them. But also this is the 40s. So that wasn't happening.
Yeah. I highly doubt he was like thinking that intelligently.
But I do
that much with that emotion, with that much emotional intelligence.
Not that I'm saying it's okay that he abandoned his family. I do have a sliver of understanding that he was going through some shit.
Effie, we that's all got all problems. Okay, listen. How about here's an idea. Don't abandon your kids. There you go.
You know, that's such a simple, simple rule for parenting, but yet so many people fuck it up.
Here's an idea. How about you, when you have kids, how about you love them? No matter what, and don't leave them. How about that?
That's, you know, that's all you need. That's all you need. You need love and to not be abandoned. That pretty much covers everything else.
Anyways, I'm a lot meaner than Anna is. That's the story.
Anna
has a heart and I do not.
Anna has plenty of empathy.
I'm so jaded.
Too goddamn much.
Huh?
I have too goddamn much empathy. Like,
no, you have the perfect amount because I have nothing. So with you, I am complete. Okay.
Can someone just take some?
Oh damn! I said that. I was too sentimental. Fuck. Take it back.
Oh, Crystal loves Allah.
I love you too.
I'm rewinding. I'm reeling it back in.
Sister signs, so that makes sense. Like, you complete each other.
Or I make her cry.
Each of you has what the other one lacks, so you make up for it in each other.
I have sense. Like, I can be sentimental. Empathetic. Yeah. I can be empathetic.
Yeah, you definitely.
You're my backbone.
To non-men related things.
When Anna needs a backbone, that's you. And when you need a little emotional support, that's Anna.
And then there's Joy, like, whispering, like, affirmations to us all the time.
I love you, bitch. You're so pretty, bitch. You're so smart, bitch.
I ain't never gonna stop loving you, bitch.
All these things are true about both of you.
So there's Jeffrey Wright in this movie and Viola Davis.
Oh my god!
I completely forgot all these stars were in this movie. Tom Hanks, same. Sandra Bullock, Jeffrey Wright. John Goodman as the
doorman.
Not the Kochek, was it? Doorman. Sorry. Completely forgot. And that first scene where he goes to Viola Davis and he meets her and we don't see her husband's face, just the back of him. That did not look like Jeffrey Wright to me. And
no,
I was like,
not at all.
Is that the same actor? I don't think it was. Was that like a stand-in or something?
Maybe they hadn't cast him yet.
Maybe, yeah. Because at the end when he goes to meet him, I was like, that wasn't Jeffrey Wright earlier. Wait a minute.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, he looks, like, not that Jeffrey Wright looks bad, but he, like, looked younger and buffer.
He had, like, broader shoulders.
Yeah.
He looked a little taller, also a little younger, like a Yahya Abdul-Mateen type of guy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it did not look like a Jeffrey Wright type of guy.
No, not at all.
Also, but what a damn shame that they didn't have, like, a scene together other than, like, that little...
Two great actors. I'd love to see them in something together, opposite each
right?
other.
Right?
That would be good.
Agreed.
Someone write it. Someone put it together. Someone fund it.
I'm not a writer.
On it.
All right. Thanks, Anna.
Do it. When's the last time that y'all were on a swing?
Oh, when I was, me and the boys and mom went to go visit Johnny when he was in bumfuck North Dakota, and there was nothing to do except go to the playground, so we went to the playground.
Aww, that's so cute.
Mm-hmm. I think I still have, like a video of it. We were, like, trying to see who could swing and jump, and then I, like, chickened out, because I was like, I'm gonna break my knee or my ankle or something. I can't swing and jump right now.
Anna?
For sure. I used to get on the swings with the kids when I worked at the daycare. I'd hold them and I'd swing with them. Some of them were just too tiny for those swings.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute.
But I'm sure... Oh! Remember we went to the park for my birthday during quarantine?
Oh, yeah!
There were swings at that time?
Yes!
There were swings and spinny things. And there was also a swing set there.
Yeah. And then we remembered the time that we went to the park and in the dark, and you were like, I was going to record you crawling down the thing, and you were like, don't do it! I didn't. But I wanted to.
Where's that video? I need to see it.
I didn't record it because I told her I wouldn't.
Oh, where I fell on my face?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was a great night.
But you know what? I have it up in here in my brain, and it plays all the time.
That and also the picture on your
left. That's so creepy.
What, you falling in my head?
At night, I go to sleep with images of you falling on your face.
I didn't say at night. I say when I think of you, which is like once a week. During the podcast.
Don't lie. You think of her all the time.
Wow. Love you too.
Anyways.
Oh, I love you guys.
I really liked the quote at the end where he's in his little letters that he sent out. I'm even glad to have my disappointment. Hold on. Said, I was disappointed, obviously. I'm even glad to have my disappointment, which is much better than having nothing.
Yeah. It's better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all.
That was kind of corny to me, but
I'm very much one of those that's like, I'd rather know the answer than be left in, let there be ambiguity.
Yeah.
Tell me. I'm the bitch at Christmas who, I don't care what you're getting me for Christmas. Don't tell me. I want to know what you're getting everyone else.
Oh my God.
In other words, Anna loves gossip. She's hella Mexican. Oh,
messy. She's messy.
Oh. We call that informed.
True. We call it a cheese me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cheese? Oh, you don't like cheese. No, never mind.
But she loves her some cheese, man.
The only kind of cheese she likes.
Hey.
There's honestly, there's a little bit more in here, like, but it's kind of sad, and I don't want to talk about it. So I think I'm okay.
If you want to, we can.
No. I'm just saying, like, when we talked about it, like, in the beginning of the episode, you know, I was talking about our personal connections to it and how the movie dealt with it. I think, like, there's just certain lines that he said that really broke my heart. Like, when he says stuff about, like, maybe I could stretch my 8 minutes with him forever. Like, ugh. The idea of just, like, doing everything you can to not forget him. Like, that stuff's brutal, man. Like, mm-hmm. And the fact that he changes out the answering machine. First of all, where's he getting all this money? Second of all, he changes the machine so no one will have to listen to it like he did. Ugh.
Yeah.
Which is totally something I would do, to be honest.
Same. Like, that is some...
breaking my heart.
Whew. Emotional intelligence where he doesn't always show it.
Yeah. It's very, in a way, very considerate and very thoughtful. But I'm
and
sure
also, like, very selfish.
Yeah, because I'm sure the people that didn't hear it would at least want to, like, just to hear it, just to have a part of him, you know.
I am glad though that she got to Sandra Bullock got to talk on the phone with him. Like, she got to have her moment with him.
Yeah.
Which I completely forgot about, because I was like, is she gonna get to talk to him too? Like her.
If she hadn't, I think that would have been a little harder for me to stomach him doing that. But
yeah.
She got to have her moment, and that scene fucking killed me.
I mean, the scene that when he finds out, when he's listening to the very last message and then the news at the same time, like that. Oh man. Paralyzed in fear, because, like, I don't want to pick it up because then I'm gonna have to deal with this. But realizing that, like, not picking it up, the end of that call was also the, like, oh man, like that. Ooh, that was really rough. And him just, like, dropping to the ground. I'd like to think that I would answer the phone, but I don't know. I really don't know. Maybe I would freeze in fear as well.
I just learned that we have technically four responses. So there's flight and fright.
Mm-hmm.
Flight, fright, fawn.
Oh, I just had it. I was just reading this or looking at this video about it.
And I'm forgetting the fourth one.
What?
And
what?
I used to,
yeah, there's... Hold on, see if I can...
I used it. To always joke that I don't have a flight or fight. I literally just drop to the ground.
You have joked about that a lot. Sorry.
It's fight, flight, fawn, and freeze.
Freeze. Thank you. So I freeze a lot, and then I fawn a lot. I don't fight or flight. I fawn and freeze.
I always wonder what I was, because I'm like, I don't fight initially. I, like, survey the situation and then I fight, but I don't flight either. Like, I don't. So I was just like, what freezes me? I'm a freeze. Cause I freeze cause I need to, like, figure out what's going on.
Yeah. Although I guess There is one very specific instance where I did fly. Like, it happened, I got pissed, and I just flew out the door. It's never happened before or since.
And it also, like you said, it depends on the situation, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so Oscar had a freeze.
That's a lot.
A lot to handle.
Especially on a child.
Yeah.
Do you want to go through its many categories?
Yeah, let's do it. I don't know where my... Oh, hold on. Okay. So do we think it should be nominated for Best Picture?
I feel like I did with The Descendants, where I'm like, not really. It was an okay movie.
Yeah, mid.
I don't think it's Best Picture caliber.
Mid, yeah. Joy? Mid?
Yeah. It's just again, mid. Nothing spectacular, but nothing incredibly shitty about it, so...
Do you think that Max von Sydow should be nominated for Best Supporting Actor?
No. I mean, he's great, but, like, I feel like it's the same with the grandpa from this last year, from The Fabelmans. Like, why are you here? Like,
but Jed Hirsch had, like, one scene where he, like, yelled and said, "Forget your family! Go do your dreams!" And then he left. That, at least Max von Sydow had, like, a little bit of a character.
Yeah.
I like Max von Sydow.
Yeah, he's great.
And fun fact, he turned down Christopher Plummer's role in Beginners to do this movie, I believe.
Beginners is a good movie.
I haven't seen it.
I think you should watch it. It's good.
Is it the one with Ewan McGregor?
Yes. It's very good. Yeah. I think you should watch it because I think this is that year.
Yeah. He won. Christopher Plummer won.
Oh, duh. Right. And you know what? Yeah, I agree. I mean, I saw it the one time, but yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't think he was terrible. I don't think he was amazing. Again, he's like the film. It's just, it's all right. It's all right.
The thing is I don't know enough movies from this year to say, like, who I'd want in place of him if I didn't want him there.
Right, fair enough.
Like we do during current years, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a little harder.
Yeah.
But I don't
for
think
now,
this... Meh. Yeah, I don't think there's any categories where it should have been that it's not.
Yeah. Except for maybe score. I really liked the score.
The score was good, yeah. But I believe the other ones are better. I have to finish listening to other ones, but... But yeah, so what are our rankings, everybody?
Oh, it's so hard. They're so average.
We say the same joke every time. It always makes me laugh. It's so hard.
I was telling Crystal before we started recording that, like, having a really hard time placing these because I feel pretty much the same about them. Like,
yeah.
This one, I obviously had a much more emotional response because of where I was at the time, and just 9/11 in general always makes me more emotional. Those stories always make me a little bit more emotional. But as far as, like, which one I liked better, like, I went ahead and put The Descendants as number one, but honestly, it doesn't matter. I feel the same about them. Meh. That is my ranking. Descendants one, this two.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm sure, like, next week I'll probably flip-flop them. But, yeah, they're pretty even-keeled for what they are. I think just, like, yeah.
No, yeah, I agree. I'm same. One is not better than the other. They're the same. So it's, like, one and one in 1A or something. 1A and 1B.
1A and 1B, yeah. One and thing two.
Not enough. Yeah, exactly what Anna said.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's our episode. Extremely loud and incredibly close. Which I remember joking that it was extremely long and incredibly boring. And I don't think that anymore. Film brain.
Look at that. Gross.
Evolved.
It was long. It was a little over 2 hours, like 2:09.
It was over 2 hours.
Well, I watched it over 2 days because, last week when I watched it, it's my brother's birthday. So I was baking and also doing like several other things. So I was like, I only have time to watch it this day and this day. So I had to split it. So to me, it didn't feel long. But yeah, that's our show, our episode. Please follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Talk to us about these movies.
I thought you said follow us on Twitter and Scram. Like you
hit that follow button and get out of here. Scram out of here. So stay tuned for next week when we talk about The Help.
That's sick. Oh my god, that's my intro. Oh my god.
Okay, everybody.
There's so much. Bye. We're gonna need 2 hours. All right.
Bye.
Bye.